praise the Lord. I just want to say hi to my wife. She's remember in football, I used to say hi, Mom. But my wife's watching from Fort Wayne. She's trying to sell her house so we can just camp right down here forever. Just want to thank Pastor for letting me do this. I trust me, I feel the pressure. I know that you don't let people do this without knowing that, you know, it's the right thing to do. And I just honor you for that, your wife and church. I love you folks. I'm sorry. I am going to cry. I have my good friend with me, Jeremy. You can see him right over here. Won't you be seated? I want to talk to you just for a second here about so Jeremy is everything in that. When I met him as well, just like Pastor saying, you just know when you meet somebody and you're like, wow. He is, you know how people, you wonder when you're at church, you're like, I wonder what they're really like at work. Well, I'm at work with him, wondering what he's really like at church. So, I mean, he's amazing and precious wife, but I just love him. I think what a solid man he is, and I'm so glad he's here with me. I know he's going to preach to me. I know he's going to be praying. I know because this is the reason why I am wound up and already crying. The enemy better start calling 911. You folks know how much Jesus has done for you. That's the crowd I'm in. The beauty of being in this place is you don't have to worry about whether or not they're stiff-necked and not so far gone that they don't remember what it was like when Jesus came into their life. Amen? And my wife's not here, Sister Gail, so I'm going to forget everything, and I'm just going to do my best. I don't work well alone, but I'm already almost forgot my prop. I showed this to my grandbabies, and they said, Pappy, is that real? So I think it's as real as you can get. It's wood, but this wasn't the one on Jesus. But I want to start right off by saying that tonight, I know it's not Easter, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about how much I love him, how much he's done for me. And so it says in King James, in John, you're going to read for me in a minute, but whoa, I love it when he reads, and when I get to there, I'm already go. So I'm, but Pilate wrote a title and put on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He's always been king. But the world didn't know he was going to be the king he is. They just didn't know. But the title, when they read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified, was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Philip, or to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews. They didn't want that on there. But that he said, I am King of the Jews. Jesus knew who he was. Amen. And these people met Jesus. And I want to start off just by saying this, even before we pray, I want you to get this in your mind. These people met Jesus as a man. They knew him as a man. Like I would see Brother Carl, I know him as a man. I can reach out and feel and touch him. They knew him as a man. We know him as invisible, right? So we're in a different situation than they were. They were looking at a man and they were saying, this is God? Where we see somebody invisible and we think, well, it's easy to think that he's God. They had to rethink their whole way of thinking because they were looking at a man, and this is God, right? So tonight I want to talk to you about that, man. Pastor, can you pray for us?
Lord, thank you for this opportunity. opportunity to gather in your house tonight. Thank you for every precious soul that's here tonight, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Pray that you garner the thoughts of your mouthpiece tonight. Order his steps. Bless him, Lord. Let him speak to your people a word fitly spoken, or a word that will build them up, increase their faith, Lord, and bring forth the results, Lord, that your word should bring forth. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen. So when we think about this, you think about the fact that what has Jesus done for you? And if you're new and he hasn't done, you don't know what he's done for you, get ready. And if you're old and you had forgotten what he's done for you, get ready. I will tell you this. In the Bible, I'm already way off. I'm just going to do what the Lord leads me to do. Let me tell you this. In the Bible, there's a lot of words in there, and there's white spots in between it. And you wonder, like, what was happening in between there? And these people, you always hear the stories about what they were doing, but we don't really know what they weren't doing. I want to tell you right now, touch yourself. Just touch yourself for a second. You're human. Relax. If you made mistakes, relax. If you haven't lived up to everything you were going to do, relax. I've been in this long enough to know this. Ever since I was a little kid, when I watched those women dancing at the altar and doing all the things, and I always wanted to see the supernatural. I was always around when the healings were happening. I was always around when the craziness was going on. And I always wanted to be right by him because I wanted just a chance that all of a sudden I would see something that could happen. And God has always been there and always provided. But I have been human and I haven't always did my end of the part. And I want to tell you this. Tonight we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about us. He's big enough to take care of your problems. Before I even get started, he's big enough to solve all your needs. And you need to quit letting yourself think. I don't even know where I'm going. You need to quit letting yourself think that it's over, because it's not over. It's not over. You need to quit thinking that this is not your opportunity. This is your opportunity. If you're here tonight, this is your opportunity. Jesus died for you on that cross. A few nights ago, or a few services ago, I got a vision in here, and I seen Jesus was coming through the crowd. And you know how you sometimes, when you're caught up and you're seeing something, and all of a sudden I see him coming through the crowd like this, and all of a sudden he was looking at all the people, and I was seeing you people in that crowd. And God spoke to me, and he said, I've been seeing these people ever since I went here. So when you think he was just walking through the crowd, he was seeing you. He was seeing you now. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who you are. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus wanted to reveal himself so bad to people, but he was such an accomplished person. He was such a winner. He was such a healer. He was the king. He had such a hard time to get around to his mission because everywhere he went, he fed people. He clothed people. He gave them all of their needs. He took care of them. He healed them. And they were always trying to make him king because they wanted to have somebody to be their king. They wanted to take care of all their needs to be taken care of. And he had such a hard time to keep pushing through the crowds and keep getting to where he was going, because everywhere he was going, he was doing such good things. Said that suffering little children. Jesus was not scary. Jesus is not mean. Jesus is not bad. Jesus is not upset with you. Jesus is not angry with you. Don't think, I don't know what's going on, but Jesus is not upset with you. He loves you. He knows you. It said, suffer the little children to come unto him, because the beautiness of the little children come running, because they came running to him because he was not scary. But everywhere he went, he was just so wonderful. It says in John 3:16, can you read that?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Jesus loves. It started right off. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You know, I mean, I've been married for a long, long time. My wife's not here, so I don't know how many years, but I know since high school. And I love her. I mean, I love her. I love her like I don't even know. One time a guy, we're off on La La Land. One time a guy at church, one time I came pulling in, and he was ahead of me, and I came and I pretty much threw all my kids out. My wife went out the side, and I got out in the parking lot, and he had opened the door for his wife and got her out and everything. And we were walking back, and he said, man, you want me to help you improve your marriage? I said, I could use all the help I need. He said, why don't you open the door? I said, man, I'm lucky we're here. I just pull up front. I let her out front and throw her out. Man, we're here. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a couple years. That guy was divorced. So I don't know about opening doors, but I still got mine. So, but I love her. I love her. But, I mean, let's be real. On a midweek service, it's all that. You get out of work, and it's just get here and get out, right? I mean, we're human. I think that's what I want to talk about tonight. I think that's what the Lord wants me to share with you. We're human. Don't you just feel human sometimes? You know, when I was growing up, I heard so many things. We've been in every church you can imagine. We've been to Independent, ALJC, UPC. I don't even know all the names of the churches we've been in. But I've been in all these places, and I've seen all these different characters. And one thing I know is we're all human. And you know they talk about holiness and all this stuff, and I'm not going to, trust me, I'm not preaching that. But this is what happened. He came up to that burning bush and he said, take off your shoes. You're in holy ground. I've come to realize in my life, it's not about what I put on, it's what I take off. All the Lord's asking us to do, the Lord's just asking us to take off some things. Take off some stuff. Just get close to him. The reason why tonight I want to talk about the cross is because I want to get to the throne room, and I know when he did this, the veil was ripped and torn, and we got access to the throne. Amen? 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 I'm reading you the end of my message right now. We have access to the throne. What does 1 John 3:16 say? You know what the thing is? If you ever want to do a Bible study and you're wondering, do you know John is the revealer? You know how many times, man, when I was younger, it was almost like people pulled up with a van with their name on the side, I am the revelation expert. I don't know. We had all kinds of weird people. They were all telling us about the end times, and I was like, oh, man, this dude's on end times. I'm in today times. You know, I don't know where we're going, but there were always end time people, and it was like Revelations was always scary until I got older and I got mature and I realized that Jesus wanted to just be revealed. And John, seeing in book John, he talks about love all the time. God is love. He's love. The guy that was standing there was love. Because John even figured, man, I'm even right in that Jesus loved me too. You know, because, I mean, when you write a book, you write it the way you want, right? So he said even, you know, the one the Lord loved. You know what I'm saying? So it's about love, right? But what does 1 John 3:16 say?
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
We're going to stay there for a minute, because a lot of times people don't realize. They always hear John 3:16. But when God revealed 1 John 3:16 to me in my life, I said, oh, man, I read that again. Read it one more time. So we're slow this down. 1 John 3:16 says, same writer.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us.
Let's stop there for a minute. He laid down his life for us. God laid down his life for us. It was the only life he was ever going to have. He had brothers and sisters. He had a mom. He wanted to love her. Could you imagine at the prime time of his life, he has to lay it all down? He has to quit being human. He has to quit this. He has to go to the cross. He has to leave mom. I mean, I love my mom. She's 82 years old. She is going to watch this too because this is on Facebook, right? So I can show her it. I love you, Mom. My mom has went through living hell to raise us kids. My dad never went to church, so when I don't even know where we're at. Just got to tell me when it's time to close, okay? Because I'm off on. My mom, she was something else. Boy, she is something else, but she was really something else when we were younger. I remember one time my mom, I tell you something about my mom. My dad would never go to church, but all six of those kids, my mom would get us together somehow. I don't even know how she did it. We were all just, I could imagine what we were like. But I remember one particular time, my mom was a beautiful woman. She was fixing her hair up. She's blonde, you know. She's all that and everything. And she fixing herself all up. And we were off to church. But before we left, she had to stop by the couch one more time and ask Sonny if he would just take us to church. I knew this wasn't going to go well. Because Dad would always say, Janice, go. Just go. But I'm not going to go. But just go. And she'd sit there until she's bawling. But this one particular time I remember. She hung in there, man. It was all that. We got out in the car. She was a mess. She was crying like I am. She was a mess. We got in the car, and she didn't want to be late for church. Hammered to the floor. Away we went. All of a sudden, the cop stopped her. Gives her a ticket for speeding. She told him, hey, I'm just going to church. Still, ticket. We get to church, and I'll never forget this. Picture this. I'm looking at her. I'm looking at her. I know my mom. My mom. Is human. My mom, I got the Holy Ghost at 12 years old in the car with my mom because I was scared, I don't know, but I started speaking tongues. I was there, right? But I love my mom. I walked in the front door of that church, and I'll never forget this lady. She's just standing there like this. She says, late Wilbur's again. I thought to myself, and the pastor wasn't much better. And I thought to myself, someday I'm going to tell people that people are just human. I guess this is my day. They're just human. Late Wilbur's. Can you imagine that? Late Wilbur's. They don't know what she went through to get there. They have no idea what she tried to do. Shit, they had no idea. They did not know that my dad was, after 30-some years, going to get the Holy Ghost. They didn't know, but she stuck in there. She worked with them. She worked with us. Every day she took us to church. She made sure we were at church. She is faithful. We did a thing not too long ago, and my mom, because of my mom and because of us boys and everything, her heritage of coming down and baptizing, she's baptized hundreds of people. Hundreds of people feel the Holy Ghost. Hundreds of people come to know the Lord because of my mom. My mom. But my mom is human. I've heard my mom. I remember one time my mom got mad at my dad. She went out and she grabbed a cigarette. She went out in the car and she's sitting there smoking her cigarette. And you guys, you're losing respect about my mom right now, aren't you? She's so mad. I remember her wanting to do something naughty just to get back at him. She figured that was naughty because people told her that was naughty. That's my mom. But my mom, I remember times of her being at the altar, just dancing around, loving the Lord, and telling me all the time, every time I did something wrong, she would say, all you gotta do is ask the Lord to forgive you. He'll forgive you. You know why? I had access. Something many people don't know. I had access my whole life to Jesus Christ. I always could go to him whether I was at school or where I was at. I had access. I knew he would listen. I knew he would. And sometimes it's been a problem in my life because I've got so much trust in Jesus. Sometimes I probably do things I shouldn't do because I know he loves me. Oh, trust me, you all think the same way. So, 1 Timothy 3:16 says what? We're on 3:16. We might only get to 3:16 because I'm running out of time.
and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Think about this once. Have you ever went out at night and just looked at the sky and look how vast it is? And you can only see what the eye can see. You can't see what's out there. You think about God one time. God is such a powerful spirit. I couldn't even imagine. It says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. I could not imagine the power of God. But one thing I do know, Jason, is I'm glad that Jesus Christ was human. And I'm glad he was the Son of God. But I would sure be scared if the Father died. Have you ever thought of that? What would happen if the Father died? Oh, did he die?
Nope. Oh, Rebecca? Okay. All right.
What would happen if the Father died? You ever thought of that? Well, he couldn't die because he always was and he always will be. And Jesus Christ was God and man. But the man Christ Jesus died. It says that there's none like him. He's the beginning and the end. But the man Christ Jesus died on the cross, and he died on the cross for you and I, and he was human. And if anybody tells you any different, they're making a mistake. He was a human being. He was human like you or I. He loved and did things just like you or I. But he died. And because he was God and man, he rose again. Thank God he rose again. Amen. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever let anybody convince you different. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. However, the Spirit is never going to die. It will always be there. It was there in the garden. The voice talked in the garden. It will always be there. When we get to heaven, it'll still be there. But we will see Jesus on the throne, the Almighty. He will not let us down. He will be there. And then remember, there was this guy in the Bible. I won't be able to read the scriptures. If you don't know him, you're going to have to trust me. There was this guy named Doubting Thomas. How would you like to be called that, Doubting Thomas? Man, you're Doubting Thomas. It's like, what in the world? I mean, I do have to carry around the name Basil like that my whole life, but Doubting Thomas. I thank God he doubted. If he wouldn't have doubted, I wouldn't have knew when he reached out and touched and he said, "You are my Lord and my God." I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he did that because he let me know that that man, Christ Jesus, was my Lord and my God. He let me know that. There was no question about it. He exposed himself. He appeared. He shone. He magnified himself. I was thinking of saying that, boy, I wish I could sing. My youngest son can sing. If I can sing, I'm going to sing this song anyways. Majesty. Majesty. Remember that song? I remember when they would sing it when I was little, I used to think, majesty. Jesus is majesty. I've never thought about him being low. I've always thought about him being majesty. Whenever we didn't have something when I was a little kid, I used to think, but I'm connected to majesty. My mom told me there's going to be a day eternal. I will be with him forever. I will be a part of this. Amen? And then there's this guy, Philip, he says to him, well, could you show me the Father? He said, Philip, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What are you looking for? It's easy for us to say that because we see the invisible. How about those that seen the visible? They seen Jesus. They knew Jesus. That's a whole different thing when you know somebody. When you know who he is, right? When you see somebody, but we see, there's some people that say, oh boy, my sister's for one. She's always like, well, I wish I could go and walk in Israel because then I would walk where Jesus did and I would feel so close to him. I'm like, man, I got him inside me. Where do you want to go? Let's go somewhere else. There's some people that, you know, he was in the Old Testament, you know, I showed you guys this maybe one other time, but the cross looks like this. I always think of it this way. Here's the Old Testament. It's not like the Old Testament's not going anywhere. The Old Testament comes to Jesus. The New Testament, regardless of the people that drove around the van and told you all them kind of things, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the New Testament brings you back. Everything brings you back to Jesus. And let me show you this. Boy, and I showed you this. My grandbaby said, Pappy, I got this baby on Amazon. Oh, man, this is the story of my grandbabies. They can't wait to get here and touch the jewels. I tell them all kinds of stories. Oh, that's just, you wouldn't believe the beauty of that. You know, Pappy's touching it, you know. But now this looks different, don't it? Because this is majesty. This is exactly what our king is. Did you know our king had to look like that in order to someday be this for us? He went through that, blood dripping. I think about the blood drip. I think about what he did for me. I think about his torn flesh. That's nowhere near as embarrassing as being naked on the cross in front of his mom and everybody. I think about that, and I think about this. Some of the worst dreams I ever had. You ever have those dreams when you're a kid, like you were in school in your underwear or something, and you get a bad dream? Maybe it was just me, but I was petrifying. I can't imagine the pain it was to be on the cross, the holy Jesus and who he is, and had to be exposed like that. It had to be so embarrassing to him. I can't imagine. But he did it for you and I. But not only did he do that, you know, they put this robe on him. They tried to mock him. They tried to tell him who he was. It's funny how the enemy always tells you who you are, even when he's mocking you. Because he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Jesus, that he's Lord forever. He is the King of Kings. Amen? So when I think about this, I think about the crown. I think about the king that we're going to see someday. I want to close with this. I want to tell you. Just give me a few minutes to tell you about this. This is what I was so excited about. I got up this morning. Yesterday, our Sunday pastor, when you said you had gratitude, I woke up listening to that song, Gratitude, which you guys have sang here sometimes. I love that song, but it was like, what do you offer a king? What do you offer a king? I love that song because it's a hallelujah, right? I love that song, but I think about my grandbabies. My grandbabies don't got to give me anything. But when they walk in, they say, hey, Pap, that's all I need. And I think about the Lord. And I think about how much he loves us. I want to tell you tonight this. All you have to do is go to the throne and ask him for what you need. The people tried to make him king when he was there, so he had to scurry all over the place to get out of there so he could do. Imagine Peter. I mean, I was telling Jeremy this. Peter, I think I'm Peter. Three-peat, right? But Peter wax off Malchus's ear, and Jesus is going through all this stuff. Jesus has to pick it up, put it on his head, heal him so he can preach on the day of Pentecost. He's doing all this stuff because nobody understands what he's doing. He's trying to get to the cross for you and I. It was a hard job to get there. He had to do all kinds of things. He had to help all kinds of people just to get there. But he went there. Folks, he was there. Do you know he died for you? Do you know your human flesh? He died for you. Timmy, do you know it does not matter? He died for you. He died for each one of us. Bo, he died for you, man. I mean, he was good looking as you are. He still died for you. He died for you. That means that no matter what you have done, he died for you. You can go to the throne room. You can go behind the veil. You can get in there and you can talk to him. You can tell him. You can go directly to him. You can go directly to him for all your needs. So I'm a teacher. So this is what I did. I did this. I have all these things. I'll clean them up if they don't pick them up. But they're crowns. They're crowns. I have a lot of them. I want to talk to you about these for just a second. And man, I got way too many of them. You're going to have to give them to Sunday school kids. But these are crowns. And tonight, when we come to the altar, I want you to take one of these. And I want you to pin it. I got scriptures all over my house. Sometimes I forget. I'm going down the stairs, and it says, I'm your provider. I get downstairs, as for me and my house, I go into the next room, I see another scripture. Sometimes you need to be reminded. I mean, every day when you guys go to work, you may miss street signs, but the ones in your house you should see. So you might just bypass green lights, I don't know, or red lights. I thought, how cool would this be to take one of these crowns home with you so you can remember that you need to take it off of you and put it on him. You need to mentally, mentally stop punishing yourself. Just close your eyes just for a minute. Stop punishing yourself. Stop. You're just human. He's God. He's the King. Stop punishing yourself. All you have to do is talk to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him if you got a problem, tell him you're sorry. If you need something, ask him for it. But you got to stop. Stop thinking you have to do everything. You have to stop thinking that if this doesn't work, it's all about you. You have to put it on him. Remember who wears the crown. He wears the crown. So I just tell you, folks, as you come to the altar tonight, when they, you know, when we're ready to go at this, grab one of them. I brought pens up here too, but you probably already know what you'd want to write in that crown. You probably already know what you need. You probably already know that there's some loved ones or there's some things that you're going through or there's some situations, but you have to remind yourself you're human. You have to. I know this is a Tuesday night. This is a must week night. What do you guys call it? Midweek? Must week? I am telling you, don't miss this opportunity. I know for a fact. I can tell you what, I don't know who was after me. I don't want to give Satan any credit because I think he already left town. I don't want to give anybody any credit, but man, I had a tough day. I thought about all the things and I just was struggling mentally thinking that I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. And right before I came here, my wife texted me and she said, you remember to rebuke him and to let him know that you're about to tell some people about how good Jesus is. Why don't we all stand? Why don't we sing a song? The altar's open. Please come. Do you need this? I'm sorry. Please come and grab a crown. If you want to pray, please pray. But please, I ask you folks, please, 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 please remind yourself that you're just flesh. You're just human. Now we know we can do extraordinary things. Ordinary people can do extraordinary things with the Holy Ghost. I know that. I know many of you have been washed in the blood, sanctified in the Spirit, believed in holiness. I know all that. But one thing we forget as humans, because we're supposed to be the role, we're supposed to be the Christian, we're supposed to be the one that doesn't make mistakes. We're supposed to be the one that always looks the part. We're supposed to be always that. We get so much supposed to be. I think that's the reason why the prodigal son's brother got so upset. He had to be a role. He wasn't satisfied with his role. He forgot that he was always in the house. He was there. He could have partied any time. But he kept thinking that he was losing out on something. We're just human, folks. We're just human. Hey, man, I have more of these things. I have so much more. I even have breath mints in here. Give some to your friends. Tell them to put it in your, share it. I want to close with this, and I want to give the mic to Pastor. I want to tell you this. I truly believe when we get to heaven, we're probably going to look back and go to ourselves, was it really that simple? Was it really, why did I stress every day so much? I was already in the kingdom of God. I already had a king. I already was part of the family. Why did I struggle so much? Why didn't I enjoy the days that I was here? I will tell you this. Jesus gave up days for you to have a future. Maybe in your future days, you could just remind him how much you're going to enjoy them. You're going to enjoy those days that he gave you. Amen.